But somebody, excuse me, somebody had to do it. I am the chosen one. Somebody had to do it.
Hello, you're listening to the Watchman's Cry News from the Wall and the Issues of Life, the program that visits world events and the issues that affect God's people in these end times.
Hello, my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry News from the Wall and the Issues of Life. I'm Nathan Liao, and the website is watchmanscry.com. And I'm coming to you with a different kind of program today that I was not planning to do, but something happened in the political world and in the Christian evangelical world and pretty much in the world. Something happened, folks. Donald Trump did something very odd. And as you see from the title of this program, this is about his comment. He tweeted out that he's the second coming of God and the King of Israel. And by now you've heard about this development. You've heard about what he did. And most of the internet broke when it happened. There was a barrage of people on Twitter, on Facebook, social media, wondering what in the world just happened. Christians have been trying to figure out if this was Bible prophecy. And a lot of folks were wondering, if Trump revealed his true cards, did he reveal that he's the villain? Did Donald Trump reveal that he's the Antichrist? And right out of the gate, folks, I'm going to address that. I'm not going to hide it because we need to look at this. This is a very, very serious thing that he did and whether or not he's the Antichrist. And by the way, on this program, I'm going to talk about it. We're going to go into the possibility that he could be and also the possibility that he may not be and he's just continuing down the path of his Trumpian manner, which causes him to say crazy things. So let's talk about what happened. It happened in the course of 2 days. Tuesday, the 19th of August, there was an individual. His name is Wayne Allen Root, and Allen is spelled A-L-L-Y-N. And Wayne Allen Root has a program on Newsmax. And Newsmax has a channel on cable TV, and listeners were calling in, and he said some things that were crazy, that were bizarre. The words were put into Trump's tweet. And let me just play it for you right here.
Just will not see. They will not listen. They don't want to hear it.
Right.
I've got friends that vote Democrat because their mother told them to 50 years ago. And I'm like, Jesus, times have changed. You just need to see.
But is there a crack of hope, Barney, or any of those friends whose mother told them to vote Democrat 50 years ago, any of them switching because they've seen the light with Trump?
Let's pause for a second, folks. Have any of them switched because they've seen the light of Trump? Trump doesn't bring light. Trump does not bring light. Trump brings deception. He brings confusion. He brings hatred. He brings bigotry. He brings anger. He brings arrogance. He brings pride and bullying and mean words, and Trump brings everything that's nasty and dirty and mean and ugly that you can think of in a person. Trump brings the nastiest features that we try to teach our kids not to be like. So this guy saying, see the light of Trump, right there, it doesn't make sense. It's a lie. This guy's not telling the truth. Okay, let's go on.
They won't even watch. They won't even consider. They're brainwashed.
Amazing. Yeah.
I think they're brain dead.
They're blind, deaf, and very dumb.
Okay. Blind, deaf, and very dumb. If you don't support Trump, you are dumb, ladies and gentlemen. And you're blind, and you're deaf. That's what Wayne Allen Root just said. That's propaganda right there. And it's not true. I'm not blind. I don't support Trump. I'm not blind. I'm not deaf. I can hear the voice of God. And I can hear Trump's lies. And I can hear Mark Taylor's insanity. I'm not deaf, and I'm not dumb, and neither are you. Many of you see his nonsense, but that doesn't mean we're stupid or dumb or blind, et cetera. Okay, let's go on.
Don't forget, I don't know if you haven't watched the show, I happen to be Jewish by birth, and 75% of all Jews vote Democrat, and they don't like Trump, and this is the greatest president for Jews and for Israel in the history of the world, not just America. Trump's the best president for Israel in the history of the world, and the Jewish people love him like he is the King of Israel. They love him like he is the second coming of God.
They love him like he's the second coming of God, and they love him like he's the King of Israel. Did you catch that, folks? Okay, moving on.
And in America, American Jews don't like them. They don't even know what they're doing or saying anymore. Makes no sense. But that's okay. He keeps doing what he's doing. He's good for all of us. Good for Jews, good for blacks, good for gays.
Excuse me. If you're a Trump supporter, did you catch that? Let's play that again.
Good for Jews, good for blacks, good for gays.
He's good for gays. Trump's good for gays. I don't want to derail what we're talking about right now, but you get the point what this guy's saying. I mean, how confusing is that? So what's the measure? He's good for them how? And if he's good for them, what does that do for us? If he's good for gays, does that mean he helps gay rights? Does that mean that he allows gays to have certain laws in their favor so that if you have a bakery, you have to bake the cake for the gays? Is that what that means? What does that mean? Okay, let's move on.
He's good for everyone in America who wants a job. Barney, thank you for the call.
He's good for everyone that wants a job. That's Wayne Allen Root. He made that comment in the evening, Tuesday evening. And then here's where it gets interesting. The next day, Wednesday morning at 7:30 a.m., Trump tweeted out what you just heard in three tweets. It took three tweets to do it. And then a few hours later, reporters were asking Trump about the tariffs in China. And then Trump did this. Let me play this one for you.
Somebody had to do it. I am the chosen one. Somebody had to do it. So I'm taking on China. I'm taking on China on trade. And you know what? We're winning.
Okay, he said someone had to do it. He's looking at the reporters. His body twists around so his back is to them. And he looks up into the sky and he said, I'm the chosen one. So Donald Trump just did. I'm the chosen one. By the way, in his tweet, when he tweeted those words by Wayne Allen Root, he said, wow. In other words, here's how Trump said it. Thank you to Wayne Allen Root for the very nice words. And then he makes the quote. So thank you, Wayne, for saying that I'm the king of Israel and I'm the second coming of God. And then he ends the tweet by saying, wow. So he placed bookends on each side about that insane proclamation about Trump, saying, thank you for saying that about me. Thank you. Well, he didn't mean it, Nathan. He was just saying that there were nice words. No. Wayne Allen Root was saying that there is a country, God's people, considered Donald Trump to be the second coming of God, meaning they consider him to be God, the second coming of God. Folks, think about those words. The Jews think he's the second coming of God, and then Trump said, thank you. Those are nice words. Did they think I'm God? He didn't deny it. He didn't say, no, this is bad. I'm not God. The Jews need to know I'm not God. No, he didn't renounce it. He accepted it. He received it. In so doing, he agreed with it, ladies and gentlemen. Now, if you have been a supporter of Donald Trump up to this point, you may notice that you have a problem right now. I hope that you do notice that you have a problem, that we have a problem. The United States of America has a problem, that the Christian community who has supported Donald Trump now has a problem. The evangelical world who has promoted him and called him Cyrus and for such a time as this and all these things, they now have a problem because Trump received those words that he's the second coming of God. And in so doing, folks, by him saying that, he essentially is saying that he is God. He arrived here. He's the second coming. He came. He's here. That's what Trump is saying. He's agreeing with it. And I'm not doing word gymnastics, folks. I'm showing what it really means. This is a big deal. This is not good. For this person, Wayne Allen Root, to say this about Trump is, first of all, insane. It's crazy. It goes against what we know as evangelicals, as Christians, to be acceptable. But he said it. And the thing that's even worse is that Wayne Allen Root says that he's a Christian. He said that he's a born-again Christian, and he's okay with doing that. Then a few hours later, Trump says, I'm the chosen one. Two in one day, ladies and gentlemen, we have a problem. How could Trump do that? What is he thinking? Does Trump really believe this? Was it just mild banter? Was it just hyperbole? You know, was it just words that sounded well? Was it just a compliment? If Donald Trump does not have the discernment as a grown-up, as a man who's over 70 years old, to understand that if you tell someone that they're God, they should not agree with it, especially in public, and you don't tweet it to the world, which is the other thing that's weird. Now, folks, think about this. He tweeted this. He sent this quote purposely. He purposely sent this quote out to the world. I want to thank Wayne Allen Root. I want to thank him for saying that I'm God. That's essentially what Trump did. I want to thank him for saying that I'm the second coming. And I want to thank him for saying that I'm the king of Israel. The king of Israel. You know, ladies and gentlemen, Israel is not ruled by a king right now. Israel has a prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu. They don't have kings in Israel. So for Wayne Allyn Root to say that the Jews think he's the king, and for Trump to say, those are nice words. They do think I'm a king. Let's put that on the table and think about it for a moment. The next king that is going to rule over Israel will be Jesus, King Jesus, when Jesus returns to the earth and sets up his kingdom in Jerusalem. Jesus will be the next king, not a human. So for Trump to agree with these words that they think I'm a king and I'm okay with that. Okay, I'm the king of Israel. Makes him equal with Jesus, folks. Think about this. He is saying he is equal with God. So we have him saying he's equal with Jesus, the King of Kings, who's going to go through the Eastern Gate when he arrives, when his foot touches the Mount of Olives. That's Jesus, King Jesus, our Lord, our Master, our Savior, Jesus, our Shepherd, who gave himself, who did not put himself above others, Jesus. But he took the form of a human, came down here, and died for us, Jesus. Trump equated himself to him by saying that was nice that they think I'm the King of Israel, and that was nice that they think I'm the second coming of God. Folks, we have a problem. We have a problem, folks. Why in the world would Donald Trump say that? Why? What is wrong with him? So I want to talk about a few things here. I took it upon myself to list, I have a lot of notes here, the possibilities of what we're looking at. Because a lot of you are wondering what in the world's going on. What just happened? You know, you're raising your hand in the back of the room, Nathan. What just happened? I asked myself the same thing. So we need to discuss this because this is either a mild event, it is just a passing thing that occurred, or it's something major, or it's blockbuster. It's historical. It's prophetic. It is earth-changing. It is the arrival of something huge. It could be those, folks. So what did we just witness? What did we witness? And I also need to include, does this mean, some of you are wondering, you're wondering, does this mean that Trump is the Antichrist? Did we just see something major happen biblically? Did it just happen in front of us? Some of you are wondering, and I want us to visit that. Because the weird thing about it, this whole thing is, and I've been thinking about this all day long. It's been on my mind. I've looked at news reports. I've looked at the video. I have seen what other people are saying about it. And I see that right now there is a lot of confusion. A lot of confusion. A lot of you are wondering, is the hour later than I thought? And you know the weird thing about this? This is what's so weird, folks. In my mind, in my silly brain, I always thought, if this was the announcement of Trump saying that he's the Antichrist, if this was actually biblical, let's say it is for a moment, because we're going to talk about it in a second. But if this is Trump announcing that he's the guy, how many of you noticed that it doesn't really feel like it was supposed to happen this way? You notice that, folks? Because many of you may have preconceived ideas that when the guy does announce who he is, it's going to be more dramatic. It's going to be more exciting. It's going to be in something that's actually dedicated to the situation. That he'll be behind a podium. I have to give a speech, and the guy will get in front of everyone, give a speech, talk to all of you, and then he gets behind the podium and says, okay, here it is. I'm God. I am as big as him. I am he. I want you to worship me. See, we had the idea that that's what he was going to do because of prophetic movies, you know, some of those Left Behind books. And because of fiction, the Christian world is expecting it to happen in a way that most likely it's not going to happen. It's not. So when Trump pulled his little thing with Twitter saying these things, it kind of went against the idea of what you have been expecting, didn't it, folks? It did. It went against what you thought was the way it was supposed to happen. Because it was non-climactic. There wasn't a lot of fireworks. There wasn't a lot of bells and whistles. He just made a tweet thanking somebody for a radio program. That's all he did. And then later in the day, he said, I'm the chosen one, casually, happenstance, in a regular conversation. So could it happen that way instead of what we thought? Yes, it can. It can. And some of you have thought about this. You probably thought yourself that, well, I didn't see it coming this way, but okay, what does this mean? Some of you are wanting to get some clarity. Some of you are wanting to understand what this means for you, for us, for America, for the world. What does it mean? And what does that do to the timeline? What does that do to the clock? How much time do we have left? Did a countdown start? Did this put some marker in the history of time? Did a final lap buzzer go off in, you know, in the invisible realm? Or a final few laps? How long is this race for? So what just happened? Well, it's one of two things. The first one is he's not the Antichrist, which would mean, let me just say it, folks, it means Donald Trump is crazy, which still should worry the world because at minimum, Donald Trump has a mental disorder. If he's not the Antichrist, he has a disorder. But is it biological? Is it aging? Is it senile? Is it an injury? What is it? Is he being poisoned? Is he being programmed? What is it? Does he have syphilis eating his brain? Folks, we have to really ask this. What is it? What if it's spiritual, folks? Is he possessed? Does Donald Trump have entities inside of him that cause him to act like this? You know what? Indeed, I believe he does. I'll say it. I believe that Donald Trump has very powerful principalities inside of him. These aren't just little wimpy imps. He has principalities in him. He probably even has someone as powerful as Nurgle, the old Babylonian, you know, the entity that they worshipped, Nurgle, or maybe one of Nurgle's associates. But Donald Trump has an infection of spirits for sure. And those spirits have done something to his brain at minimum. There is a spiritual thing that's over him. When I look over the wall, I see the orange invasion. Spirits deceiving the world, deceiving the brethren. When I look over the wall, I see the invasion of darkness, the cloak of a horrible, dark, sludgy pitch of deception as thick as tar, and the people that are not vaccinated from it are having this thick pitch of tar, dark black pitch placed over their eyes. So we need to have Holy Ghost vaccinations so it doesn't get us. This is a serious thing. And I really am hoping that Trump is not the guy, folks. I do. I hope he's not the Antichrist. I hope that he's just what we witness are the words of a silly, insecure man. I hope that's all it is, at minimum. I'll take it. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That means we have more time. But unfortunately, it also shows a sad thing. It's also a revealer of a sad thing. It's God's stethoscope to measure the heartbeat of the church. If Trump is not the Antichrist, the way that the church has welcomed him with open arms and allowed themselves to be deceived by him and to accept his evil, unrighteous behavior and make excuses for it shows that the church is messed up. The church is a mess. It shows the church has wrinkles in America. I'm talking about the American church. It shows that the American evangelical community has been found wanting in the balance of God. And when you have the Liberty University, Jerry Falwell Jr., supporting Trump, making excuses, and looking the other way as Trump continues this nonsense shows that the church is broken. It shows we're in a mess. It shows we're in trouble. It shows that God is going to have to put the American church through the ringer. And it shows that the American church deserves to go through the blender of God and the threshing floor. If Trump is not the guy, it still shows that there's sickness and disease in the American church. If Trump is not the guy, then it shows that the American church is poor, miserable, blind, and naked. If Trump is not the guy, then it shows that the alternative radio Watchman world, Watchman universe, is confused and also sick. It proves it. Because even in the alternative media that calls themselves the quote-unquote remnant, you know what? God's not coming for a remnant that yawns at the behavior of horrid unrighteousness, that looks the other way, that winks. God's not coming back for a remnant like that. We got to choose, folks. God's coming back for a bride that chooses righteousness. God's coming back for a church that doesn't make excuses for bad behavior. He's not coming back for cornflakes, not flakiness. And the free pass that the church has allowed for Donald Trump is embarrassing. The world has seen it. It's ruined the church's testimony, and it's embarrassing. I'm embarrassed for the other watchmen that have had the Yahoos who have defended Trump and called him Cyrus, for the false prophets. I feel sorry for the other watchmen who have entertained the thought that Trump could be some kind of thing that he's not. I feel sorry for him. Because if they got it wrong with Trump, what else are they going to get it wrong with? What else will they mess up with? What else will they lead others astray with? We still have the mark of the beast we're facing, folks. We still have all of the trumpets that are coming and all the different plagues, events. We have the unraveling of the political system. We have where people are going to have to hide, where the remnant of God, a war is going to be declared on the church and on Christians. We still have that coming. We still have Psalms 91, where the destroyer will walk up and down the street seeking those who are not protected. We still have what we read in Ezekiel, where the angels with a destroying weapon will walk up and down the streets. And then the other angel who will mark the heads, the foreheads of those who sigh and cry over the sins of the land. Those who sigh and cry, ladies and gentlemen. When people excuse Trump's behavior, that's not sighing and crying. That's not grief. That's not lament. That's not sadness that they see this bad behavior. No, it's the opposite. It's winking. It's ignoring. It's endorsing. It's supporting. It's promoting bad behavior and the sins of the land. We have all of those things still coming, folks. And I feel sorry for the watchmen out there who are not leading God's people to righteousness and not encouraging God's people and admonishing God's people to be diligent against evil and false hopes and false prophets. But they're here. So if Trump's not the Antichrist, it's still revealed the mess that we're in and the embarrassment that the American church has before God with their evaluation. At minimum, that's where we are. So at minimum, the church is in a mess because it proved itself to be blind, following every wind of doctrine, following all of these self-proclaimed YouTube channel teachers who don't know what they're talking about, who have just gone out there when they were never called by God, and they are feeding lies and garbage, regurgitated vomit to the people of God. That's what they're sharing. Vomit is on YouTube. Vomit is in the alternative community. Vomit, dung, garbage, maggot-infested knowledge, information that is encased with worms from hell, with information that does not benefit the soul, that does not benefit the spirit, and does not heal the hearts of God's people. It's just entertainment. Offering ear-tickling words that do nothing, nothing for those who need a refreshment from God. For those of you who need a touch from God. For those of you who need healing from God. For those of you who are hurting. For those of you that need peace. For those of you who are in darkness. For those of you that are overshadowed with oppression and depression and hopelessness. They're not offering a solution. That bothers me, folks. That bothers me that others would consider themselves as peers and call themselves something that they're not. What are they watching? It's not you. It's not God's people. It's not the wounded hearts. They're just watching numbers. They're just watching sensational words to bring to the table. And I don't like that. Sorry that I'm getting fired up here, folks, but we just saw some craziness here. And I think it merits a little bit of a bothered response from Nathan. So Donald Trump is the Antichrist or he's not, folks. If he is not, we're in trouble. We're in a mess. I just described it. I just described why. Now, let's talk about what if he is. What if he is? If Donald Trump is the villain, the Antichrist that we read about, then first of all, number one, fasten your seatbelt. Fasten it and get ready because spiritual turbulence is ahead, folks. If Trump is the Antichrist, that means the countdown has begun. But the question is, where does the clock start? We have to have that on the table and consider that, okay, if Trump is the guy, when does the timeline start? I don't know. I'm watching, though. And I'm comparing scripture. I'm trying to make sense of it. I'm trying to figure it out. But the thing that we cannot do, ladies and gentlemen, is to be adamant. I have spoken to so many people over the years who told me their theory. And if I had them all in the same room and we were listening to their theory on how the timeline would play out, every one of them would have a different timeline. If they all had their chance and they went to the blackboard and drew out what they thought, every one of them would have a different theory. And they would insist that God showed it to them. They would insist that the Holy Spirit revealed it to them. So if you have five authors with five different theories of the timeline of the end, then common sense would tell us that some of them are wrong and some of them did not hear from the Holy Spirit, even though they insist they did. And it would show that, we're fallible, folks. So that's why if you have an idea of how this thing's going to play out, then put it on the table, but also be willing to consider that it could happen a different way. And that's how I'm taking this. That's how I am approaching this. It could play out in different ways. But nevertheless, if Trump is the guy, fasten your seatbelts, number one, because the ride's going to get bumpy, turbulence is coming, and then prepare yourself. Or maybe prepare yourself would be number one, and then fasten your seatbelts. And when I say prepare yourself, I'm talking about spiritual. Get right with God, folks. Get right with God. It's time to pray. It's time to get alone with God and repent. And if there's things in your life you've been tolerating, if there are things in your life you've been excusing and winking at and saying that God doesn't mind, but in truth, you know he does. In truth, you know he's not okay with it. You know. So repent of it, my friend. Repent of it. Get rid of it. because if Trump's the guy, that means that the fireworks of the tribulation period could start at any moment. They could start next week, next month, this fall, or next year. So we have to be ready. We have to be prepared spiritually and pray for our family members that they get prepared spiritually. If you're able to speak to them and challenge them, then do that. Encourage them to repent, because a fire is coming, folks. And the earth is going to start shaking. The earth is going to start having some very violent contractions. The earth is going to start having labor pains. The earth is going to start groaning and travailing. It's going to start shaking. So we have to be situated spiritually so that we're ready. If perchance, folks, if perchance an event comes, if war starts unexpectedly, what if an American city got nuked? What if that's what started World War III? What if North Korea sends one, or Russia does, or China, or a rogue element, or what if it's a false flag? Nevertheless, if they decide they're going to sacrifice the lives of a certain area of the country, that would mean if Christians were living in that area, they're going to die. And if you live in a certain area that has been measured and decided and destined for judgment, and you happen to be there, and a bomb's going to go off in the next, you know, several months or a year, be right with God. Be right with him. Nathan, you're scaring me. I'm not trying to scare you, but folks, we have to get situated as well so that we can face these things without overwhelming terror and overwhelming fear. We have to get to the place where we can face these things with the peace of God, with resolution, with hope. That means that we're going to be seeing Jesus soon. So there's a lot of things we got to be working on. By the way, if Trump is the Antichrist, there may be a portion of you who are expecting that at some point he's going to go stop the sacrifice that at the moment does not exist, has not started, because we have been told that the sacrifices are going to start up and then the Antichrist is going to stop them and say he's God. I want to offer this, folks. There's a possibility that it's not going to play out that way. You know, the timeline we have it, the 7-year tribulation, for the first 3.5 years, Israel's going to be sacrificing lambs and animals. And 3.5 years into it, the Antichrist, which would be Trump in this case, is going to go to the temple and say, nope, stop it, I'm God. And that's what we've been told. But what if it doesn't happen that way? What if it doesn't? Why wouldn't it, Nathan? The verse says so. Does it? Daniel 9:27. And he will make a covenant with many. Nathan, that's the Antichrist. He's going to make a covenant with many. Let me read it. Daniel 9:27. Some of you have probably heard me share this. The abomination that makes desolate. What in the world is that talking about? It's right here, Daniel 9:27. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, which is 7 years. So he, some prince, he, somebody, is going to confirm a covenant with a lot of people for 7 years. But in the middle of the 7 years, the week, he shall bring an end to the sacrifice and offering. So 3.5 years into the 7 years, he's going to stop the sacrifice. And on the wings of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined. It pours out on the desolate. We have been told that's the Antichrist. We have been told that the Antichrist is going to walk into the temple. He's going to have a treaty with Israel. So he will make a covenant treaty for 7 years. And then Israel's going to start sacrificing. And then in the middle of the 7 years, the middle of the week, he's going to bring an end to sacrifice. The Antichrist will. Okay, that's what you've been told, ladies and gentlemen. That's not what this verse means. That is not what this verse means. This verse is not about the Antichrist. It's about Jesus. This verse is about Jesus. Let's replace the word he with Jesus. And Jesus shall confirm a covenant with many people for 7 years. But in the middle of the 7 years, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. Okay, Jesus' ministry was 3.5 years long. And after 3.5 years, he brought an end to the Jewish sacrifice because he was the sacrifice. He brought an end to it. And on the wings of abomination shall be one who makes desolate. Jesus, because of his sacrifice, made the temple desolate. The temple, the Jewish temple that was doing sacrifices, became desolate because the Roman soldiers overthrew Jerusalem in AD 70 and destroyed the temple. And it became desolate. On the wings of abomination shall be one who makes desolate. Jesus caused the desolation because he became the sacrifice. There was no longer need for the temple to be used as a sacrifice. Do you remember what Jesus said when he said, don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves? Do you remember when Jesus said that? On the wings of desolation, ladies and gentlemen. Now, this is talking about Jesus, and on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate. What does that mean? Okay, it means that after Jesus died on the cross, that the sacrifice of the sheep in the temple for the high priest in Israel would become an abomination, because after that, the sacrifice would no longer be needed. Jesus was a sacrifice. So he would have to stop the temple sacrifice. God was going to have to bring about a measure to stop it. And he did that because it was an abomination after he died on the cross. He did it by allowing Rome to overthrow Jerusalem and destroy the temple, and thereby making the Jewish temple desolate, no longer used, abandoned, a ruin. And that's what it says here. On the wing of the abominations shall be one who makes desolate. He is the one, Jesus is the one, who makes it desolate. And if we go to Matthew chapter 23, Matthew 23, verse 37, look what it says here, folks. This is right before Jesus gave the Olivet Discourse. Matthew 24, you know, the list, the template of the end times. The previous three verses before Matthew 24 are in Matthew 23. And look what Jesus says. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wing, but you were not willing. Jesus wanted to take them in his arms, the people of Jerusalem, under his arms, but they would not. And then look what he says after that. See, your house, meaning your temple, is left to you desolate. Your temple is going to be desolate. For I say to you, you shall no longer see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So then he moved to the future and say, but then I'm going to return in the second coming. So it's going to be desolate until I return. Second coming. Desolate, folks. Going back to Daniel 9:27. He shall bring an end to the sacrifice and offering. That's what he just said. In Jerusalem, your house is left desolate. And on the wings of abomination, meaning no more sacrifice because it's an abomination, shall be one who makes desolate. He used the same word, desolate. So Daniel 9:27 is about bringing an end to the sacrifice because he's going to die on the cross. Until when? Look how the verse finishes. Even until the consummation, which is determined. The consummation, folks. Consummation. The consummation is when the bride and the groom meet. That's easy, right? You get that, folks? We're grown-ups. It's a spiritual metaphor. But until then, it will be determined to be poured out on the desolate. So the sacrifice would no longer be required. And after that, if anyone sacrificed, it would be an abomination. So Daniel 9:27 is not about the Antichrist stopping the sacrifice. No, it's about Jesus. But a lot of Christians are expecting the Antichrist to walk into the temple and do this, stop the sacrifice. That's not what this means, folks. At this point, ladies and gentlemen, how many of you are listening to my words and saying, what, Nathan? I've never heard this. This is interesting. Or what, Nathan? You're crazy. Or what, Nathan? No, I don't agree. That's okay. You're free to think that. And if you want, go ahead and keep that on the table that the Antichrist is going to do that. Although, if the Bible is to interpret itself, there's no reason why this should have shifted to the Antichrist in the first place. That passage of Daniel 9:27 has no reason to be talking about the villain. It doesn't. But Bible teachers have told us that that's what it's talking about. But why does it have to switch to the villain? Why? Because if we look at the previous verse, Daniel 9:26, it's talking about Jesus. In Daniel 9:26, after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. So verse 26 is about Messiah. And it goes on, and the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end of it shall be with a flood, and till the end of the war, desolations are determined. Plural, desolations, several desolations. And then verse 27 then continues, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. That's still talking about Jesus. So Messiah was verse 26, Messiah will be cut off, and then in 27, he shall confirm a covenant. And as Bereans and students of scripture, instead of listening to Bible scholars and the opinions of man and the philosophies of man and the traditions of man, we need to be looking at the scripture. So here's the question. Does the Bible tell us that Jesus confirmed a covenant with many? Because it says in verse 27, he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. We've been told that's the Antichrist, but there's no reason that Messiah's reference should shift then to a villain. There's not. And there is no other place in the Bible that tells us that there's a peace treaty with Israel, although that's what you've been told. Now, if we go forward to the New Testament, I want to show you something, folks. And if you're taking notes, make note of this. Again, to clarify, it says in the first sentence of verse 27, he shall confirm a covenant with many. And I'm stating a case that this is talking about Jesus. Now, if you have your Bible, turn to Galatians in the New Testament, chapter 3, verse 17. Galatians 3:17. It says, "And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ." What is that talking about? Well, the previous verse, verse 16 in Galatians 3:16, it says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made." He does not say, "and two seeds as of many," but "as of one, and to your seed," which is Christ. So it's talking about Jesus being the seed of Abraham. So when did that happen? Well, if we go to the book of Genesis, do you remember where God showed Abraham in Genesis 15, 14, and 15? In Genesis 15, verse 14 and 15, God was having a conversation with Abraham, and he was telling Abraham, "Hey, Abraham, I'm going to bless you and your seed, and your descendants are going to live on the earth, but first they're going to go through some hard times." So in Genesis chapter 15, it says, "Then God said to Abraham, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve, I will judge afterward, and they shall come out with great possession." Now, God was prophesying to Abraham that his descendants, the 12 tribes, would leave Egypt in the Exodus. So they were going to be slaves in Egypt, but then they were going to leave with great possessions. And we know that happened. Remember when Moses left and the children of Israel took silver with them, gold and silver? So God prophesied that that was going to happen for 400 years. Now, in Galatians, where we were just reading, it says that this I say. So now let's look at verse 17 again, Galatians 3:17, because this is talking about Abraham and the conversation that Abraham had with God, and that the seed of Abraham, which is Jesus, the promises of God would come through Jesus. So in verse 17, back to Galatians, it says, "And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later," meaning, so Abraham is on this mountain, and God is saying, "Abraham, in 400 years, your descendants are going to come out and have the law." Okay, so after Moses left Egypt, he was given the law, the Ten Commandments, and he wrote the Pentateuch, Leviticus, Numbers. He was given the law. The law was the shadow of Jesus in the Old Testament. First, we had the shadow in the Old Testament, and then Jesus is the New Testament. So this verse is saying, "And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later after Abraham, cannot annul or remove or erase the covenant." The law cannot erase the covenant. What covenant? The covenant of salvation. The covenant that was given to us between God and man. The covenant. "I give you a new covenant." Remember Jesus said that at the Last Supper? A new covenant. "Take, eat, this is my body." The new covenant of him, of his blood. So the new covenant is his blood. And this is saying that the old law could not erase the new covenant, because the new covenant took over. That's our way now. That is the new way, a new and living way of salvation with Gentiles, with the whole world. So it's saying that the law from Abraham and from Moses and from the Old Testament cannot erase the covenant that was confirmed by God in Christ. You folks see this? Jesus confirmed the covenant when he died on the cross. When he shed his blood, he confirmed it. At the Last Supper, he said, "I'm going to give you a new covenant," and then he sealed the deal with his own blood. So Jesus confirmed the covenant, ladies and gentlemen. He shall confirm a covenant. The covenant was done by Jesus. The covenant that we have, that we depend on for salvation, is the beautiful treasure that we have in our earthen vessels. The covenant that we have is the unspeakable gift, the pearl of great price, our salvation from Jesus. Now, folks, think about this. Without the covenant of Jesus, without the shedding of his blood, there can be no salvation. We don't have the hope of glory. It is because Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood, and then rose again, came back to life in resurrection power, in glorified power. So that's the new covenant. The covenant is so important. We cannot sidestep the covenant. Without the covenant, we have nothing. Without the covenant, we're just another religion of man. But the thing that separates Christianity from all the other world's counterfeits is the covenant, ladies and gentlemen. So it's so important to see the covenant for what it really is. So now that I said all this, now let's look at, once again, Daniel 9:27. And with what I just said, folks, keep in mind how important the covenant is and how we can't live without the covenant. So when we're looking at Daniel 9:27, it says, let me go back, "Then he," which is talking about Jesus, shall confirm a covenant with many for 7 years, for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice. So that's talking about the ministry of Jesus. 3.5 years in, he died. His ministry lasted 3.5 years. And that's why the Great Tribulation is going to be 3.5 years long. And I don't want to get too confusing. And I know that some people get confused with this, and I've seen people write it out on chalkboards and on graphs, and it gets real confusing. But the bottom line, folks, is that Jesus confirmed the covenant. Your salvation is because Jesus confirmed it by the shedding of his blood. So when we look at this verse, he shall confirm a covenant. And let's think about this, folks. Instead of the church understanding these writings as a beautiful prophecy about the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, instead, this glorious prophecy about what he was going to do for us has been instead attributed to the counterfeit Antichrist. And we have been told, and we have been deceived, the church has been deceived, because we have been told that this verse is about some guy that's going to make a peace treaty with Israel. So in other words, if you can hold both hands up, on one hand, we have the beautiful covenant of our salvation, and in the other one, we have a peace treaty with a nation, some political piece of paper. Now, folks, which one is more beautiful? Which one is more glorious? The covenant of Jesus, of course. But Satan, and I'll say this, Satan was able to deceive some Bible scholars and twist the scriptures, or the interpretation of the scriptures, because the words are what they say. But the interpretations of this passage right here has been fed to the church. And because of that, the church is expecting something to happen that's never going to happen. They're expecting a 7-year peace treaty based on this passage of Daniel 9:27, that's never, ever going to happen. So there's probably some of you that are waiting for Israel to have a peace treaty. That's the main sign. I read that on Facebook. People email it to me. I get it on Messenger. Nathan, Jared Kushner's making a peace treaty with Israel. Is this it? And by the way, folks, stop looking at Jared Kushner. Stop looking toward Jared Kushner. It's amazing. Even after Donald Trump pulled this shenanigan, I'm reading the words of Christians who say, I'm not concerned about Trump. It's Jared Kushner I'm concerned about. And I'm thinking, what? Jared Kushner isn't the pompous, arrogant, silly man who's embarrassing himself every day like a clown. Jared Kushner doesn't do that, but Trump does. Trump is fulfilling the template that we read about the Antichrist. We're watching a theatrical performance and a great deception take place even in the church, because the church is looking for signs that will never, ever happen. And you know, I have said this in the past. I've said it in the past, and I'll say it again. During the first Advent, when baby Jesus was born in the manger, during the first Advent, how many of God's people in Israel knew that he was born? How many knew beforehand? How many had their eyes open because they had been studying the scriptures and they saw that it was time? The fullness of time had arrived. How many children of Israel knew based on their own studies? And here's the answer, folks. Zero. None, not one of God's people in Israel knew. Now, of course, the shepherds showed up because the angels told them on the same night. But not one person in Israel knew. Meanwhile, we have the wise sages, the magi from Persia who came over, who knew something. They were wise. They knew, but they were non-Israelites. So what kind of indictment is that against the wisdom of God's people? Not knowing. And I have maintained this, folks. I really believe this. Just like we saw in the first Advent that people did not see it coming, they didn't interpret the scriptures right, we're going to see the same thing happen in the second Advent, that people will not see it coming because they're going to be expecting it to happen in a different way. History's going to repeat itself. History's going to rhyme with itself. It's going to happen the same way because Ecclesiastes tells us that which has been shall be again. History will repeat itself. In fact, Jesus had mentioned in Luke 17, verse 20, Jesus said something, and for those that have the eyes to see, this is actually a clue to how things play out. Let me read this. In Luke 17, 20, he said, "Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said," now watch this, folks, "the kingdom of God does not come with observation. When it shows up, people don't see it." People don't see it. So when he came in the first Advent, it wasn't observed. People didn't get it. They didn't see it. It comes without observation. In the second Advent, it's going to do the same thing. It's going to come without observation. So while everyone is expecting this peace treaty of Daniel 9:27 by the Antichrist, we're going to actually be watching something else take place. People will not see, you know, they'll be looking to the left when in actuality toward the right is where everything's going to be taking place without observation, without observation, ladies and gentlemen. So that's why I maintain that we need to have several options on the table. And it's amazing people, even now, the day after Donald Trump claimed that he was God or agreed with someone else that he was God, the Son of God and a king and the chosen one, Christians are making excuses for him on Facebook. That's not what he meant. He was kidding. He was just agreeing with something else. And they're speaking for him as if they know what he was thinking. Ladies and gentlemen, it's obvious what Trump was thinking. He was patting himself on the back and saying that he is this person. He believes it because he said he's the chosen one on film and he looked to the heavens and said it. He believes of himself more than he is. That's why I'm concerned. So let us have the spiritual vigilant eyes to accept the truth. Now, again, if you don't want to believe it, then you're free not to. But unfortunately, it's going to be very, very sad and scary for those who didn't see it coming and didn't want to admit it because we saw the same thing in the past. With Hitler, we saw it. With Mussolini, we saw it. With Mao, we saw it. With Lenin, we saw it. Pol Pot. We can go down the list, folks. Donald Trump, if he's the Antichrist, is also going to be a dictator. If he's not the Antichrist, he still wants to be a dictator. So we are living in very perilous times. I have to say these things. I must. To those who have the eyes to see and those who have the ears to hear, hear this warning. That's why I'm saying if Donald Trump is the guy and people are expecting him to put a stop to the sacrifice, what if he doesn't? And if that happens that he doesn't do it, and in fact he supports it because the Third Temple is in the works, it's being funded, they're working on it, and if Trump is always supporting it when it starts up, but he never stops it, then how many in the evangelical Christian community who heard the exclamation to this verse as referring to the Antichrist and the Antichrist is going to stop it, how many of them will then say, you know what, Trump never stopped it, so he's not the guy? And out of ignorance, they will believe that he is just some politician. See, folks, if the church is looking for the wrong fulfillment of a verse, it's going to cause a lot of trouble. It's going to cause a lot of problems. So, folks, Max suggests that we be willing to consider that the prophetic outcome that we're looking for may happen in a different manner, including what I just read right here. Now, thus far, Donald Trump fits the bill for the Antichrist. His behavior fits the bill. And the behavior that we can read in Daniel 7 and Daniel 8, Daniel 11, fits him almost to a T. To a T, yeah, Trump. It fits him. Most of you know what it says about the Antichrist. He'll be arrogant. He will be boisterous. And I could do a whole program on that. And I don't have time to do that right now. Go read Daniel 7 and 8 and 11. And you can read how it talks about his pompous words. He will have pompous words. 7:11. I watch because the sound of the pompous words, the great pompous words, which the horn was speaking. The horn. Calls him the horn. In verse 20, in 7:20, it says it again. He had pompous words. He shall subdue three kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High. He shall persecute the saints. And the word persecute means afflict and wear out. He shall intend to change times and laws. What does that mean? I guess we'll find out, won't we? And then the saints will be given into his hand for a time. What does that mean? Uh-oh. But he's going to have pompous words. Ladies and gentlemen, Trump has pompous words. He is so arrogant. In chapter 8, verse 11, it said he exalts himself as high as the prince of the hosts. In Daniel 8:24, it says about the Antichrist, his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, meaning he's powered and fueled by entities, by principalities, by Satan. And he shall destroy wonderfully or fearfully, meaning with great deception. He shall prosper and thrive. He shall destroy the mighty and holy people, which are the Christians. He shall cause deceit to prosper through his cunning. Trump is very cunning. He shall cause deceit to prosper under his rule. Deceit, ladies and gentlemen. We have been discussing the deception that's taking place over the church. Deceit. Cunning. People believe lies. The church believes he's okay, that he's safe. That's deception. He shall cause deceit to prosper under his rule. He shall exalt himself in his heart. Oh, interesting. Daniel 8:25, he will exalt himself in his heart. Does Trump exalt himself in his heart? Yes. Yes. He shall destroy many in their prosperity. What? What does that mean? That means that during his reign and rule, there will be others who are prospering because of him. And folks, think about that. The economy prospers. He talks about it all the time, how great the economy is because of him. People are rich because of him. Everyone has jobs because of him. When we were listening to Wayne Allen Root, he said Trump has given jobs to everybody. You remember that? The last thing that Wayne Allen Root said, jobs. Trump has given jobs. He's made everybody prosper. Let me play this again. Look at this.
He's good for everyone in America who wants a job. Barney, thank you for the call.
Okay, did you hear that, folks? He's good for everyone that wants a job. In other words, he's good for everyone that wants to prosper. Daniel 8:25, he shall destroy many in their prosperity. So just because he provides jobs, just because he's able to say, look what I'm doing for the economy, he's changing everything, he's bringing jobs back, he's bringing opportunity back, which is the whole template and foundation of the Make America Great moniker. It has to do with prosperity. He's going to make America great. In other words, everyone will have a job. He's going to make us strong with prosperity. That's what MAGA is. Daniel here says he's going to destroy because of that by using the lure of prosperity. Interesting, right? So I can't go into a lot of the detail about how he's going to do that, but that's just a little taste. We could spend a lot of time talking about how he's going to do it, his cunning and how. But the big picture is he's either the Antichrist or he's not. And we discuss if he's not, then we're still in trouble. If he is, that means he's going to trick a lot of people and deceive by prosperity and comfort and wealth and hope and promises. And folks, these things fit Donald Trump to a T. So what's to come? What is going to happen, Nathan? Well, this is happening in real time. It's happening right now. So we must become vigilant and not sleepy like the virgins. We need to have oil. And if some of you listening are not where you're supposed to be with God, then return, my friends. Return. Return. And I'm going to be talking about this a lot in the future because we turned the corner and it's going to get weird. I have a sermon that I was ready to work on. I was going to record it and then I was going to release it. But then this happened. I'm doing this program instead as an emergency one. And then the sermon's going to be coming after. But you know, at minimum, folks, I do want to establish there's a chance he's not. And I'm offering both of those on the table. I'm saying he either is or he's not. If he is, this is what it means. The tribulation is near. So we have to get ready. How close is it, Nathan? Next year? This year? I don't know. But if he's the guy, then we can expect that it's near. Okay. If he's not the guy, then it means the United States has a huge illness. The church in America has an illness because deception was used to get us to this point. And sadly, there's a lot of Christians that are going to still defend what happened. They'll make excuses, and that's really sad. You know, I was looking into who this individual is, Allen Wayne Root, and it turns out that he is Trump's buddy. They're friends. They talk to each other on the phone at night. Trump knows him very well. And Wayne Root has written a book. He's an author. But behind the scenes, gets very interesting. It gets interesting because if we were to look at the individuals who fund Donald Trump, in other words, the Geppettos that are out there who fund Donald Trump, one of them is Sheldon Adelson. He is a casino owner in Las Vegas. He's a billionaire. And he has deep pockets, and he's one of Trump's puppeteers. He controls Trump. He tells Trump what to do. In the early presidency of Trump, Adelson was calling the shots and telling Trump who he should have as cabinet members and who he should not have. Adelson had that influence. And Adelson, Sheldon Adelson, is in Nevada. He bought the newspaper in Las Vegas around the time of the election in 2015, the Las Vegas Journal, and he hired a columnist to write pro-Trump columns in that newspaper. And the person that Adelson hired was Wayne Allen Root, the same guy who did the radio program. The same guy was hired by Trump's financier. Same guy, folks. But the plot thickens. It gets even more interesting. The radio program that Wayne Allen Root was speaking on is a Newsmax program. Now, Newsmax is a conservative, Republican, right-wing, supposedly Christian-influenced website and now TV station and news outlet that puts out very, very conservative, right-wing programs and radio shows. Newsmax is owned by Chris Ruddy, Christopher Ruddy, and he is also a buddy of Trump. They're all buddies. Chris Ruddy goes to Mar-a-Lago and hangs out with Trump. and Wayne Root has gone to Mar-a-Lago and he hangs out with Trump. They speak to each other on the phone at night. So Trump is buddies with the guy who talked about Trump being the king of Israel and the second coming of God. So Trump knows him very well. They're friends. They talk privately. So the thing that's weird to me is how did the tweet happen? Because when Wayne Allen Root made those statements, it was Tuesday night. But then the next morning at 7:30 in the morning, Trump tweeted out the exact words, almost word for word. And I wonder, where did Trump get those words? Because if it was just stated on a radio program when Wayne Allen Root was talking to a lady, it was improvised, spontaneous. It wasn't a script. How did Trump get the exact words? Did he watch it again and pause it and type it? Well, I don't see Trump being disciplined enough to do that because it was three tweets and it was pretty accurate. So how did Trump get those words from Wayne Allen Root? Did he get an aide to go listen to the show and say, I want you to type it up for me and give it to me? Is that what happened? I don't know. But it's weird because that means Trump had to go out of his way to have someone actually draw up the papers, type up the words, listen to the program and pause it and type it up, or he got a transcriber or somebody to do it. And then they had to give it to Trump. They had to email it to him somehow or message it or text it to him so that he could then use his phone. He could cut and paste it from however they sent it to him and stick it on his Twitter account and send it out in three parts. That was a lot of effort that was used. Why though? Why? You see, folks, it doesn't make any sense. When I think of it like that, it's like, well, did they talk about it in advance? Hey, I'm going to say this when I have the chance. Did Trump tell Allen Root to say it or what? Why? Now, Allen Root, by the way, he calls himself a Christian, but he's a NAR member. You know, the New Apostolic Reformation, Kingdom Now Christians who believe that Christianity has to take over the world before Jesus can come back. He's one of those Christian Zionist types. By the way, during the campaign, there was a Trump rally for Donald Trump, and the same guy, Wayne Allen Root, was a speaker for Trump at a Trump rally, and this is what he said. He said, Trump warriors or members of the Trump army, a citizen revolution led by conservatives, angry Republicans who hate establishment rhinos. That's what we're doing here. That's what we have going. But he called them Trump army and Trump warriors, and then he went on. He said that Trump was speaking for independents and working class Americans and Christians and gun owners and small business administration owners and military veterans and taxpayers. And he said, we are going to violently take Washington, D.C. with pitchforks and jackhammers and blowtorches. And we're coming to tear it down. We're coming to rip it up. We're coming to kick your, and then he said it, ASS. And we're coming to put you in prison. Now, that is a violent political message, and it had the people in a frenzy. And as you know, at many Trump rallies, you get that kind of verbiage spoken, and the people just turn into a frenzy. And a lot of the people that love Trump are NAR dominionists. They believe that politics will be married with Christianity in order to bring about this theocracy to America. And this theocracy will need to have its appointed leaders sent by God and appointed by the prophets, and that person sent by God happens to be Donald Trump. So you see, folks, it's weird. And Christianity has turned into a weird morphed creature in America. And I have shared this in the past that the Kingdom Now movement, if it continues in the manner that it seems to be headed, is going to get weird because they have the idea that the church is going to take over America and there will be self-appointed prophets that will dictate the rules. They can decide who gets punished, the enemies of God, and tribunals, and Christians who have been empowered by God will have the ability or the privilege to do away with those that they don't like, or evildoers, etc. And I know that sounds insane. I know it sounds crazy, but there's a passage in the Bible, and I was speaking to a friend who brought this up about this very topic, and they said, Nathan, you know, it is prophesied that in the end, they will kill you and think they're doing God a favor. You know, Jesus said that, folks. So who's going to do this? Who's going to think that they can kill you and it's for God? Well, it's not non-Christians. They don't care what God thinks. It wouldn't be Muslims because Muslims would be doing it for Allah. These are people who actually think they're doing God a favor. So it looks like, at this point, folks, it looks like it's the Kingdom Now NAR type movement who are going to just go crazy and get weirder as the days progress. So if Donald Trump is the guy, the NAR Kingdom Now Church put him in there. So the NAR Kingdom Now Church Christians still support him. And boy, do they, because when Trump tweeted out that he's the second coming, the last time I looked, it was over 56,000 people liked his tweets. That's a lot of people, folks. And most likely they're only from his base. So these are Christians who had no problem with him saying that. We're in a mess, folks. It's going to take discernment for you, discernment for me, and we're going to have to make sure that we're awake on this thing. This thing just happened. I'm very concerned about it, but I hope that by me sharing these words, it gives you something to think about. Now, folks, if the Holy Spirit within you is telling you that something's wrong and things are not right when you examine Trump, then go with that. But please do not do this. Please don't decide, oh, the Holy Spirit showed me, and then you write me and say, Nathan, thanks for opening my eyes. And then next week you go back to those Watchmen programs and start listening to the blind ones again who don't know what they're talking about. Please don't do that, folks. Be a remnant person who relies on the Holy Spirit and sources that are true, not lies. Be strong. Resist. All right, folks? Now, I appreciate you listening to this program. I appreciate it. I thank you, and I love you guys. I know that there were moments where I got pretty firm, but ladies and gentlemen, I had to say those things. I had to say some of the things I said because this is a battle. This is about your survival. This is about your endurance. It's about having proper information. Proper information, folks. That means the map has to be true. Proper information means the GPS map that you depend on, the spiritual GPS, has to be true. Survival and endurance means that you cannot be listening to double-mindedness and confusion. You can't. All right, folks? Well, I plan to bring more information. I plan to talk about this more. I have a lot more stuff I'm going to share, folks. I have a lot more coming. And I appreciate those of you that are listening. And once again, folks, please remember Watchman's Cry. I need your support, folks. I don't want to sit here and whine and beg and all that stuff. But folks, I'm a beat up person. I'm a broken man. I had a pretty hard blow with what happened recently in my family. And it's left a big crater. A big financial crater. So there's a financial crater for Watchman's Cry right now. So help me fix that thing and rebuild. I want to rebuild these walls, folks, for the benefit of God's people. And if you can see what you just heard in the last hour and then some, if the time that you have spent on this program is beneficial to you and you can see the benefit, then help me continue it. Help me continue it, all right? Well, I love you. I appreciate you. You can go to my website, watchmanscry.com, and contact me there. The address is P.O. Box 157 Priest River, Idaho 83856. So, ladies and gentlemen, share this program with your loved ones. I know that it's not warm and fuzzy. I know it's not. It's using discernment and facing reality. I love you, folks. Say a prayer for me. Say a prayer for Watchman's Cry. Say a prayer for my family. Say a prayer for the work that we must continue doing. And if you have any information to share, any comments, you can go to the website, watchmanscry.com, and send me an email. Ladies and gentlemen, I love you, and I care, and I want to see you through. But even more than that, God wants to see you through, and He will. Let's just put our faith in Him, all right, folks? All right. Well, stay safe, stay vigilant, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.